Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com, Aaron Rodgers got married.
That was a surprise.
Or did he?
Oh.
The girl on ESPN, not buying it. He just said, yeah, it's a wedding ring for a couple of weeks. Whatever. I don't care. I mean, all I care about is what he does against the Ravens twice in 2025, which we'll get into, but the Orioles... Nolan thought they were back. Some others thought they were back. I thought they were better. Last four games, well, three of the last four, not so much. And joining us now to share his thoughts, local kid compared to us. Yes, he's a kid. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline, Fox 45. Bring back to the show AJ Gersh. AJ, good morning. How you feeling today?
Bye, Vinny and Nolan. I'm feeling good. Nice, beautiful day in Baltimore. Took a nice walk along the Inner Harbor this morning, and I'm ready to watch some Orioles baseball tonight, as little as the optimism seems to be proving after yesterday's game. But, you know, Zach Eflin against Casey Mize, good pitching matchup. Let's see if the bats can show up tonight.
Now, what a difference 4 days makes, by the way, in regards to the Orioles. And we were talking about this, AJ, because Nolan last week, not to, like, put him on blast because he was optimistic. A lot of people thought, hey, PT and Towson's got him in the World Series still, even though they're 14 games out of first place. But... did you think, based on that uprising that this was, and the return of Mullins and Westberg, which we knew was coming, and then O'Neill and the rest, Sanchez, blah, 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 that what we saw for that 6 in a row, 9 of 11, whatever it was, that, yeah, this is a thing, and this could be real, or was it fool's gold? I mean, it still could be real. They have a lot of baseball left to be played, but, AJ, were they back in your eyes?
I'm not so sure that they're back, but I'm also not sure that that was a fake out. I think that what we saw after the end of that Boston series, and then of course dropped 2 out of 3 against St. Louis, but yeah, the sweep against Chicago and out west when you sweep Seattle, what you saw there were a couple of things that we hadn't seen all season. Number one, it was of course the starting pitching giving quality starts night after night, which not sustainable, first and foremost. You can't expect Charlie Morton to go out there and throw a quality start and then follow it up the next night with Dean Kramer and Zach Eflin the next night, Sagano, you know, back to back to back. You're not going to see that, of course, by any team, but especially not the guys that the Orioles have been throwing out this year. But I think the bigger and more important thing that we learned from that win streak and that 9 out of 11 games won is the fact that the bats came to life, and they started hitting in clutch positions. They started hitting with runners in scoring position. Adley Rutschman has finally turned it on in the month of June. So has Gunnar Henderson, who, by the way, everyone's been talking about Ryan O'Hearn and how great of a season that he's having, and I don't want to discount that, but Gunnar Henderson still leads the team in wins above replacement. Let's not mince our words here. Gunnar Henderson has still been the best batter that the Orioles have had, regardless of his batting average, and he'll continue to be. But this team is finally starting to show a little bit of life, and then, of course, you lose 2 out of 3 in Sacramento to the Athletics, and that's for a team that had won, what, 1 game out of 21, not what you have wanted to see at that position coming off a hot streak. But I don't think we could discount what we saw over the past 2 weeks. I think the Orioles still have a fight in them that isn't going away. And I think that these guys now finally, that they're healthy and playing together again with Couser and Mullins and Westberg all back in the lineup, it's probably going to look a little bit better than what we saw in April and May.
Now, AJ, before the game yesterday, Tony Manzolino said that Kobe Mayo's basically a first baseman now, so forget about him at third. They've got plenty of options there, certainly with Westberg back. What do you think about the offensive upside of Kobe Mayo? I mean, Kerstad goes down. This guy was on a playoff roster 2 years in a row. Will Kobe Mayo be given a, air quotes, fair chance to show what he can do with the stick and at the bag, basically learning on the fly?
Well, you have to, right? You have to give Kobe Mayo the same opportunity that you gave Heston Kerstad, and that is keep him up for 2-3 months, see exactly what he's capable of doing at an elongated situation in the big leagues, which he's really never had. And what the Orioles have been, in my opinion, a little bit shoddy with in the past couple of seasons, especially with the with this rebuild coming to fruition, so to speak, is giving players enough time to ruminate in the major leagues. You've seen Kobe Mayo get called up, sent back down, called back up, sent back down. It was the same type of situation with Kyle Stowers a couple of years ago, and he could never put it together because he never really had the opportunity to, and then you ship him off with Norby to Miami for Trevor Rogers. Who knows how that trade's going to work out, but Stowers looks like he has the potential to be an all-star guy. Now, with Kobe Mayo, and you look at his stats across the minor leagues, they're phenomenal. I mean, two seasons ago, he hit close to 300, 30 home runs. Last season, he hit close to 300, 25 or 26 home runs. And then this year, he was doing the same thing. He was raking in AAA, got called up once, couldn't really find himself at the plate, and then got sent back down immediately. So now with Ryan Mountcastle out for an extended period of time, I think it was 8 to 12 weeks or something like that, with that hamstring strain, you got to give a guy like Kobe Mayo the same chance you gave Heston Kerstad and let him get at bats on a night-to-night basis and show maybe what Jackson Holliday has shown when he got consistent at bats, and that what happens in the minor leagues isn't always a fluke. It can translate.
AJ, are the expectations for the Ravens offense too high?
Oh, I don't know about too high. I don't think you can go too high with this Ravens offense. They were, in my opinion, the most electrifying offense in the league the last two seasons and only getting better after 2023 into last year. And then what you do is you go out and you add DeAndre Hopkins. You go out and you draft some offensive line pieces. You get a guy like Keaton Mitchell back at full speed as your third running back behind Justice Hill, who, by the way, is the most underrated third down backup running back in the entire league, not to discount what Derrick Henry does either, who's going for his 2,000 yards. Did you see that Derrick Henry
Adam
is going to be going for 2,000 yards so he can get an Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore.
A little bit more incentive to ball out. But I don't see that there's any reason to discount this Ravens offense, especially year three in the Munkin system. You know what they say, year one could be a fluke. Two times in a row, maybe a coincidence, but when you put things together three times, that is a force certain. And I think Todd Monken is a force certain type of offensive coordinator. And what we're going to see out of this Ravens offense, barring an injury to number 8, of course, is going to be sky high.
Okay, speaking of that, then, what are your expectations for the defense?
I think that we can hope that the defense improves year over year. The big knock on the defense last year in the early stage of the season was the secondary. And, of course, the middle of the field was wide open. You know, we weren't seeing any second middle linebacker step up and help Roquan. Wide receivers were tearing up on the slants in the beginning of the year. And now you had the opportunity with Malachi Starks back there to allow a little bit more free roaming with Kyle Hamilton. Of course, you don't want to put a lot on a rookie. With our Darius Washington going down with that Achilles injury, it's going to be a little tough with the secondary depth. But I think you'll probably end up bringing in a veteran before week one at safety. And then I'd like to see Nate Wiggins take another step up, be a little bit stronger off the line of scrimmage. Man-to-man, he's fantastic. He's just got to get a little bit of more muscle off the push. And then you've still got the defensive line issues with getting to the quarterback, but that's why you draft a guy like Mike Green, who was top of the league, top of NCAA in sacks last year. What I've seen out of him at OTAs and what everyone has talked about him and his work ethic, specifically the way that he practices. Mike Green seems like he's the real deal. Of course, a first-round talent falling to the second round. So I think a little bit of optimism on the defense. They can be better than they were last year. There's a lot of room for improvement, certainly, and I think that they probably made all the right moves that they could this offseason to make that happen.
A.J. Gersh, Fox 45. A.J., appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and don't fall in the harbor the next time you walk around Harbor Plank.
I will try my best. Got to keep it balanced, guys. Yeah, appreciate you.
Got it, man. And apparently some oil spills going on around downtown Baltimore. But when we come back, whip around, talk about what's going on in the world of sports. Got the NBA Finals resuming tonight. Stanley Cup tomorrow. Some cool things happening this day. Orioles history. And then 11:30, Vinny mentioned that the Ravens offense, a lot of homegrown dudes. How about that defense? A lot of drafted guys over there.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything. Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We'll hear from him coming up here in the next segment. Definitely hear from him when we get to the Fun House. Orioles back in action tonight, taking on the Tigers, 6:35. Baltimore baseball tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services, coming up at 5:30. Live from Pickles, me and Nolan will be there. Jim Hunter will be there as well. We'll be talking to Jim later in the show also. So come on down. It's going to be pushed over 80 degrees. And let's cheer the Orioles on. Go to that crush bus, get your groove on, and hopefully get the birds in the win column, and we'll get into that, obviously, over the next few segments or so. NBA Finals resume tonight. Game 3 in Indiana. OKC and the Pacers tied at a game apiece. Pacers have lost every Game 3 this playoff series, or this playoff postseason. Huh. Game 3, they have lost. So they're probably due. If they get housed tonight, which I think they will, I don't think it's got anything to do with, you know, this betting trend. I just think OKC is the better team. Insignificantly better in a lot of areas, but coming up 8:30, so we'll keep you posted on it tomorrow.
If they win tonight, Bob, you can see 4-1.
Ugh. Still one more in Indiana, and Pacers are tough at home. They'll compete. Oh yeah, yeah. I see four. Yeah, I see 4-1. No. Either way, they'll win two here and then finish it off in OKC, which would be the first NBA championship in that incarnation of the franchise's history. For our younger listeners, they the former Seattle Supersonics or Oklahoma City. For the Indiana Pacers, they have never won an NBA title. They did win the ABA championship, old George McGinnis days, back in the 70s. Speaking of the NBA, the Knicks are looking for a head coach. So they went after Udoka, Houston, Mutombo. Went after Finch in Minnesota, Manute Bold. They're going after Jason Kidd, and apparently they're getting Chet Holmgren. So New York's looking for a new coach, and I guess the Tibbs train ran its course, but New York just made the conference finals for the first time in 25 years. They have a team. Might have to tweak a thing or two. that could take it to another level. Question is, where are they going to go? Jay Wright's already said he's not interested.
How about Malone, Bob?
Mike Malone? As a Wizard fan, I'd prefer him down in D.C., but yeah. There appears to be no chance that that's happening. But Malone could be a good get, and he had Sacramento percolating on the verge, won a title just a couple years ago in Denver. The players in New York were kind of whining about the workloads. I would think in the playoffs, man, bleep that.
Yeah.
It's you're in it to win. If you're a good player, unless you're like notably gassed and you're tapping out, say Anthony Richardson on a fourth quarter drive for the Colts. Different sport, but you get the point. Don't you want to be in there?
Right.
Like Earl Weaver, say all the Oriole pitchers, Jim Palmer. Hey, is he the guy thrown out in the bullpen? Yeah. Is he better than you? No. Shut up and pitch. You know, go out there and do what you gotta do.
I think the complaints are over the regular season, though.
Yeah.
Meaningless. Oh, so they're tired now?
They're playing seven dudes.
Right. I mean, he wouldn't go to his bench. He just absolutely refused to do it. I mean, they could be winning or losing by 20, 25, and it's still the same starters out there. And I don't know if he ever publicly explained the rationale. I would assume it's, hey, if we're unified now, then we're going to be even more durable in the postseason. Ultimately, I don't think that was what led to their downfall. They just got beat. But at the same time, I mean, you know how it is with players these days.
Never their fault.
That, and, you know, with all the load management and stuff, I mean, an outlier coach like that, you know, is going to get criticized for that.
Now, the NBA field has expanded to literally half the team has a chance to win, even with the play-in tournament. I mean, you have more than half of the teams can play for a chance, depending on how well they do, to win the NBA title. In the olden days, granted, it's the olden days, I mean, the Lakers, Sixers, 1980, the Magic, Kareem, Dr. J, they played Saturday and Sunday, played back-to-back finals games. But there are all best of sevens, so you don't have the little mini three out of fives or the two-game series. I mean, you do have to play. The NBA playoffs started at the end of April, April 20th, I believe it was. And we were sitting here, what, June 11th? So it's a long grind. I'm not buying it. They're young and spry. Get out there and do what you got to do. And certainly don't blame a game in February for why you got your asses kicked by Indiana in June. That's just me, though.
Bob, I was watching Last Dance or what? You know, you watch them throw out. Michael Jordan's playing most of the time.
Michael Jordan played 82 games when he was with the Wizards. I mean, they weren't that good, but Michael Jordan's greatest player in the history of the NBA, in my humble opinion. But anyway, Knicks need a coach, and good luck with that. Stanley Cup Finals resume tonight, or tomorrow night, rather. Oilers at Panthers. Florida's up 2-1 and coming off a puffy pantser, but with drama and extracurriculars, what does that mean possibly for tomorrow's game?
The biggest,
as Edmonton needs to win, obviously.
Yeah, just because they got, like you said, they got puffy pants. They tried to make a physical game, and that's not their game. And Florida spanked them. The biggest question going into the game is Skinner in or is Skinner out? That's all the talk. And who's Skinner? Skinner's the goalie for Edmonton who was not good. And he got benched last game. So, you know, and he helped them win game one. So how do that's the biggest question. And if you're having questionable goaltending, and Florida's on a heater right now. That's going to be. If they puffy pants them again tonight, Bob, you talk about basketball being 4-1. This will be 4-1, too. Where I thought, you know, and everybody, every prognosticator in hockey was saying game seven, evenly matched. You watch the first two games, two overtime games. And then in this one, you know, it was that was the worst game that Edmonton has played in the playoffs. So we'll see who shows up tomorrow night.
And if you're new to the show, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny's Rotto, Nolan McGraw, Woman Crush Wednesday, Puppy Pants. Break out the puppy pants. It's hammer time. You're getting hammered is essentially what we're talking about. This day in Orioles history, as we talk about June 11th, about 1983 at Fenway. Birds beat the Red Sox 10-6. John Lowenstein, 2-for-2, 3 ribbies. Singy. Leo Hernandez and Gary Renicki all had two driven in. Scott McGregor picked up the win. 2014, again against Boston, this time Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Chris Davis hit a two-run homer. Nick Hundley, 2-for-4 with a ribby. Wei-Yin Chen goes 7 strong for a 7th win. Shutout win for the eventual AL East champs. How about 2023? Same thing, eventual AL East champs. Beat the Royals 11-3. Gunnar Henderson, 3-run jack. Ryan O'Hearn went deep. Ramon Urias. And, yeah, I had to look this one up. Josh Lester had 2 ribbies each. You remember Josh Lester, Nolan McGraw?
Not John Lester. Josh Lester.
Josh Lester. He played a couple of games, and then this one drove in 2 runs. Kyle Gibson got the win. Keep in mind, though, I was drinking a lot at the time. Jay Payton apparently played 3 years for the Orioles, and I don't remember one game back in the early 2000s. And then a year ago at this time, a guy that unfortunately just went on the IL broke out a big stick against one of the best pitchers in baseball.
And Mateo gets a hanging breaking ball up in the air to left center and gone. Oh, he can do it all. His first at bat back off the injury list, and he smashes a baseball into the Birds bullpen.
Kevin Brown Masson on the call. Jorge Mateo, 3-run jack off Max Fried, of all people, as the Orioles shut out the Braves 4-0. Austin Hayes, remember him? He went 3-for-4 with a ribby. Albert Suarez, remember him? He improved to 3-0 on the year. I know this has been a long season, but 23-24 seems like it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, it really does. They were glorious years. We're talking about it in the past tense like it was the 70 Orioles, but oh my God, what a difference 2 years makes for the Birds of Baltimore. We'll come back, talk some Ravens, then a funhouse trip. That NFL lunch, you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Nolan thought the Orioles were back. A lot of you did as well. Are you regretting that proclamation?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this Ravens offense, you know, Lamar, Flowers, Bateman, Andrews, Ricard, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But how about defensively? Matt Ibike.
Yeah.
Travis Jones.
Yeah.
Broderick Washington. Trenton Simpson.
Yeah.
Adape Owe. Nate Wiggins. Kyle Hamilton. Malachi Starks. Marlon Humphrey, just to name a few.
Yeah.
Tavius Robinson.
And your kicker and your punter.
Yeah. So this is, you know, Eric DaCosta and everyone involved in the process of putting this roster together have done a hell of a job through the draft. Have there been some misses? Sure. J.K. Dobbins, by the way, drafted, just signed with the was a Broncos yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. But this is a roster, a Super Bowl-worthy roster, largely put together within. And most of your backups are drafted guys, too. And we understand a free agency, some teams got to go that route because they draft poorly. This isn't one of those teams, the Ravens.
No, you got to give, to me, Eric and his group, ton of credit for drafting the guys. And then also the strength coaches, you know, and the position coaches for developing these guys, like a Daniel Falele, you know. And you know, we just heard from Rosengarten how he got stronger. I mean, so, you know, your strength coaches, they're part of it. Everybody's a part of that. You know, it starts with the scouts and stuff. And then player development. Their player development, just because of all those dudes, is pretty damn good.
Now, we look at the defense, and we talked earlier, a year ago, Fa'alele. Right. He's going to be a Pro Bowl alternate. We Nolan, would you have laughed at that proclamation if I would have said something stupid like that?
Maybe a little bit, maybe a chuckle, yeah. But I'll give you credit.
All right, I didn't say it, but like just say, hypothetically, defensively, who could that guy be? I mean, I guess Travis Jones is the obvious choice, but I think Broderick Washington do it would be more parallel, I guess, to Fa'alele. Because we talked about Travis Jones yesterday, like he was Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, because he was a third-round pick. You know, and kind of floundered around, you know. How about Trenton Simpson? That may be.
Ooh, okay. And the, all right, your hope for that is he, third year in the league now?
I'll just say this, Bob. Physically, you wouldn't recognize him. You know, thick. I mean, upper and lower, thick. And he looks like there's no hesitation and stuff. I mean, if he has a big year, that defense is going to be that much better because he is extremely fast and athletic. And I think the drop-off from, you know, if he is real good, the drop-off would be huge, just like it was last year. You know, I mean, when he wasn't what we thought he was going to be, then, I mean, they were not wanting to play their backups as much. Right. It was a rotating door.
Trent Simpson, what do you think, Nolan? Could he level up big time? In yeah, year three here.
I don't think that's out of the question. You know, I mean, he took a, even though he wasn't great last year, it was still a pretty big leap from rookie year to what he did last year. I mean, as a rookie, he was almost non-existent, at least on the defensive side of the ball. If I was throwing out a name for a potential breakout, how about Adisa Isaac? Kind of just wasn't really present at all. Didn't really get off the ground. Was really a low bar to clear, I guess, if we're talking about improving off of last year. But
making like Pro Bowl alternate.
I got a better one, Bob. Armour Davis.
I think Orioles have a better chance of scoring 10 runs tonight. I mean, it'd be great if he did. He's always been that guy.
He always gets hurt. If he can stay healthy, because he's running with the one. I mean, they put Marlon inside. Armour's the starter.
Like he mentioned, Nolan did Adisa Isaac. Who are you more confident in going into this mandatory minicamp next week and then obviously the season, Isaac or David Ajabo right now?
Armour Davis.
Okay, well, we got plenty of that to get into, and we will. We got news from the Nets coming up top of the hour. I don't know, Adisa Isaac, I mean, he did have sack numbers because Chop Robinson was getting all the attention at Penn State, and he was kind of freeing up to do some things. But we'll top news from the Nets, buy or sell 12:15, Jim Hunter, talk Orioles. But when we come back, how about a little funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw. Orioles back at it tonight against the Tigers after losing the opener 5-3. Birds have now lost 2 in a row, 3 of 4. That 6-game winning streak, it seems like it was only last week. Revisiting things. What about today? Others who could show up.
Yeah, that'd be nice. How about another receiver show up? I mean, we've had Bateman one day, then gone. Zay yesterday. So we'll see who shows up today. But, you know, Anthony Miller, Bob, I told you off air, Anthony Miller's been every day, kind of like 2 years ago when we were talking about Keaton Mitchell, although Anthony Miller's older. But he's quick, and he's been making some really – made a beautiful catch yesterday. And that Wade kid, 82, made a real nice catch in the end zone yesterday. So some of those receivers are getting an opportunity to make some plays. And Kane, the second-year free safety, had a nice interception yesterday, and he's getting a chance. So that's good. Cone has moved up with Awuzie being out. You know, wasn't there. So, Cone, he's moved up.
And I believe that's Cone.
Cone, he's moved up. You know, so, yeah, some interesting things. Like I said, day before, TJ Tampa. So, you got some guys in the secondary that are making you take notice. And an offensive, like I said, Anthony Miller makes you take notice. Quarterbacks, I think, are kind of inconsistent. Cooper Rush, I just don't want him to... I want him to get more air under balls to give receivers a chance to go get it.
Yeah, Cooper Rush sounds like the name of a kid from like an 80s sitcom. Where's Cooper at? Yeah. It's the Rush family. Nolan, what's going on over there?
Sounds like a superhero. Right. A bad one at that. Knockoff superhero. Well, if Cooper Rush is playing meaningful snaps for the Ravens this year, the season's over. So we're you know.
No.
But obviously,
let's keep it real.
Yeah, we want the best for all the players, obviously. As far as the Orioles, daunting task tonight. Obviously, you know, we know what Scooble is going to bring tomorrow, but Casey Mize on the mound for Detroit tonight. Very good pitcher. I'm not discrediting him at all. But if you're looking at his recent track record here, and I pulled it up, I was a little surprised to see this. Not going very deep in games. And last time out against Chicago, the White Sox, that is, very bad team, only lasted 4 2/3. They got his pitch count up there at 93 in the fifth inning. So maybe if you're not going to get hits off of him, you're not going to do much damage off of him, which is kind of what we're predicting, can you at least get him out of there early? Can you tap into the bullpen? Not that that led to better results last night.
What do we need, like 6 runs in the first 3 innings for us to win our bet?
I mean, think we need as 10 as soon as possible.
Yeah, I mean, their bullpen's kind of lights out. But with Jason Beck, we had on yesterday from MLB.com, was talking about how Mize, the velocity's now starting to trend towards the... I mean, this dude was throwing 100 miles an hour when he was drafted by the Tigers, number one. So the velo is starting to trend more, because Tommy John guy is starting to trend more to where it was when he was that dominant number one dude.
So 4 2/3 against the White Sox. The start prior to that against Kansas City, only 3 1/3. Now, he only gave up 3 runs, but Yen didn't let him go much farther. So I feel like this guy could be at least knocked out early.
All right. Or I'm going to go with the track record of the Orioles. He's going to go 7 2/3.
Right. That's way more likely.
Like 89 pitches. We got time for a funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Gene in Annapolis says, totally agree about the decision to move Heston Kjerstad down to the minors. Just wasn't hitting. Had plenty of opportunities to do so, and has not shown any of the power when supposedly that's what he was supposed to be most known for. Most of his hits were singles when he did get anything going at the plate, and absolutely awful in the field. If he was decent there, probably could have sent someone else down, but all in on this move, says Gene.
And that's what I was asking. If he was a good outfielder, he'd probably still be here. And, you know, wait to see him start to exhibit some of that power as the weather is starting to heat up. It's a meritocracy. Dylan Carlson outplayed him.
Yeah.
And it's a move, too. Again, just my humble opinion, that the Orioles still think they can win games, and Dylan Carlson's got a better chance of winning them games right now than Heston Kjerstad.
And Bob, if you're opposing clubs, you know, trade deadline, have you decreased value?
Well,
he's got to be a piece of, you know, he's not the main thing.
He's not
thing.
The dude anymore. Yeah. It's Kjerstad end.
Right.
But how much of the Orioles going to be buying here?
Yeah.
I mean, now, if you flatline, in the next 2 weeks are going to, let's be honest.
No doubt.
I mean,
by June 20th, we'll know.
Once they're done through Tampa, New York, and after this homestead, you know, then Kjerstad's coming up, Carlson's being flipped for bag of baseballs, some sort of thing like that. Then you just let him play the rest of the second half. And then same with Mayo. Because Mountcastle's going to be out for, what, 2-3 months?
Yeah.
Just let him get his hacks and do what you got to do.
Let Basayo play.
A lot of concerns or gripes over the umpiring last night. It's not a new story. The texter here says, concerning balls and strikes, all pitches should be judged electronically, not just appeals or challenges. It's simply not enough. If you look at batting averages in different counts, how drastically it changes pitch to pitch, the difference is profound. It completely alters the game. Who knows how last night might have turned out had the correct call been made.
Look, in football, you have to cross the line to get to a touchdown.
Yep.
If you step on the line, you're out of bounds. They have video to make sure that that is the fact. Tennis, how long they've been using their little track thingy
awesome.
There.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's a strike's a strike. It's got to be. It increases offense, maybe makes it more advantageous to the hitters, of course. But you can't have the strike zone just be beholden on the night that Alex Tosi's having behind the plate. By the way, Tom Hanahan is at first last night, so he'll be the home plate ump tonight, and I have no idea what this guy brings.
Hey, Nolan, when we were younger, the American League and National League had two different strike zones.
Right.
Yeah, American League was more high, low for the National League.
So what happened in the World Series?
They would the
alternate?
Umps, yeah, be three of each. Three American, three National. Two different baseballs. If you played in National League Park, they'd use the National League ball. I mean, it's still made by the same Spalding and then, of course, Rawlings. I don't know.
Well, they change the balls year to year at this point.
Well, it depends if they need offense or not.
Yeah.
But it was an American League president, National League president. Mm-hmm. They were, before interleague play, they were two separate entities, which always brought intrigue to the World Series. And the All-Star game was worth a crap.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we need to go back.
Okay. Whatever you want to.
No,
I'm worried about
money,
the Orioles
money,
10
money
runs
talks.
Yeah, I mean, look, with the balls and strikes thing, the technology's there because you were using it in spring training. Minor league ballparks have been using it for a while. It's not like you're trying to develop something that still has bugs in it. I mean,
people can go on Jeff Bezos' rocket ship into outer space. You can't figure out a ball and a strike after 105,000 years? Come on.
Depends how real you think that was. Or not, but,
And like in the NHL, how many cameras do they have on the goal? Where you,
exactly.
You know,
if the puck hits the line. It strikes a strike. It is what it is. I mean, they make sure there's an ump there. They replay to see if the ball's fair or foul. Now we're that advanced, we would think. Anyway, hey, Vinny's off to one winning drive. Yep. Vinny, we'll talk to you at 1:30.
You got it.
And we'll get a report from there, attendance report as well. News from the Nats coming up next, buy or sell worth the midweek money. And then Jim Hunter, will talk Orioles with him. Birds trying to get one against Detroit. The winnable, air quotes, game was last night. They lost. I guess a sweep's coming?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.